Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Woo, that's pretty cool, isn't it? Kind of scary a little bit. Praise the Lord, we got Jesus, right? Amen. We've been talking these last couple weeks about living fear-free. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know, we were born that way, and we got to get back that way. And so I love this. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is Psalms 23, where it says, "The Lord restores my soul." I love that because that's God, where when we make the Lord our shepherd, all the stuff that has gotten us out of whack and we're just not the way we're supposed to be, where we've got fear and sickness and poverty and all that stuff that God never intended for us to have, the Bible says that God restores my soul. He resets me. He resets me back the way that He made me to be, back the way that it's His plan. Amen? Isn't that a good thing? And so, you know what? When it comes to fear, when we make the Lord our shepherd and put Him where He belongs, He removes fear. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. Amen? And so we truly can be fear-free, but we got to put some things where they belong. And so last week we talked about fear of rejection, how to overcome the fear of rejection. And that's something that everybody deals with. Everybody deals with rejection at one time or another. We just got to know how to deal with it. Because sooner or later, you're going to find somebody. I know maybe you haven't yet, but you're going to find somebody that doesn't like you, that doesn't want anything to do with you, that doesn't understand how great you are, how fabulous your personality is, what a humorous person you are. They're not gonna see that in you. They're just gonna be like, I don't want anything to do with you. Or maybe you're gonna be in a place where you're in a relationship and things don't work out and there is that sense of rejection. And so we have to learn how to deal with stuff because stuff happens. How many know stuff happens?
It happens.
And so we talked about the fear of rejection and we learned what the antidote was to that. It was put God where He goes. He goes first, right? Put people in their place. They're not as important as we think sometimes. Their words have no power over you unless you let them have power over you. You know, some people are like, oh, you don't curse me. You can say whatever you want over me. Your words have no power over me unless I allow them, unless I receive them into my life as truth. They have no power. You can say whatever you want. It doesn't affect me. That's how it's supposed to be, right? So put God where He goes. Put people where they go, and put ourselves where we go. We got to remind ourselves who we are, that we've been bought with a price, that we're a royal priesthood, that we're children of God, that we are set high by God. Amen? We got to remind ourselves, I've been raised up together with Christ Jesus. I'm seated together with Christ Jesus. So when somebody looks at you and they reject you, or they say, you know, you're not as great as you think you are, or whatever, we just need to remember, you know what? You can say what you want, think what you want, but the truth is, I am a child of God. Amen. You are not, your job is not to take care of me. That's God's job. Amen? And so when it comes to rejection, the thing we got to do, we got to make sure God's where He goes, because if we put people's opinions, the Bible says the fear of man is a trap. It's a trap. It's a snare. When we think that what people say is more important than anything else, we're in for trouble. We're in for trouble. And we learned last week of what that leads to. And so I just encourage you, when that hurt, you start to feel that hurt or start to feel rejection or start feeling those thoughts like, I don't belong, I'm not good enough, things like that, you need to put God where He goes, put people where they go. Don't give people power they don't deserve.
Amen.
Amen. Let me say that again. Don't give people power they don't deserve. And then put ourselves where we go. Let's remind ourselves who we are. Sometimes you just got to look in the mirror and remind yourself who you are. Because you know what? People are always trying to remind you who you've been. Isn't that the truth? They're always trying to remind you who you've been. And you know what? Maybe you've been somebody that, but you know what? The Bible says that old things are gone. Behold, we are brand new. Sometimes you got to look in the mirror and say, you know what? This is who I am. I'm forgiven. I'm set free. I've got a plan for my life. God is for me, not against me. Yes. There are angels watching over me. My words have power. I've got a Savior who loves me, died for me. I've got a God who's for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Amen? How much better would your day be if you started your day out like that? Just reminding yourselves who you are. We don't care who you've been. God isn't interested in who you've been. He'll take care of that. That's what the blood of Jesus is for. God wants you to remember who you are. Amen? Amen. And so today we're going to still talk about fear, because fear is so powerful. It can just ruin things. And fear, if you allow it, it will ruin relationships. Amen. And so we're going to talk today about that, how fear can ruin relationships. You can look in your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 15. And I'm going to be looking at the Amplified Version. And it says, "Let our lives lovingly express the truth in all things." Wasn't that good? Speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about truth. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth. You know, whenever you don't know what's going on, you know, there's always someone you can ask. Aren't you glad about that? There's always somebody, you know, well, man, I don't know what to, I don't know. I hear people say all the time, I don't know what to believe. You know, you got something going on in your family or in a situation or relationship, and you say, I just don't know what to believe. Well, you know who to believe. Believe the Holy Ghost. And He knows all things. And He'll lead you and guide you, the Bible says, into all truth. And so when you don't know what to believe, you don't know who to believe, I'm sure we've all been in a spot like that where, you know, there's just more than one story coming. I always like to remind everybody there's always three sides to every story. Hey, man, there's always three sides. There's your side, their side, and the truth. And it's not that you're lying, but many times our side is skewed by our perception and by our feelings and emotions that are all wrapped up in something. And so, but you know who knows all of that and can speak truth to you and lead you and guide you? The Holy Spirit. That's, the Bible says that's one of His jobs, is the revealer of all truth. And so when you say, well, I just don't know, instead of saying that, say, you know, I don't know, but I know who does. The Holy Spirit knows, and I'm gonna turn to Him. I'm gonna seek truth from Him, and I believe He'll lead me and guide me into all truth. Doesn't that sound good? You know what? The Bible's got an answer for anything you face. People will say, oh, the Bible's old-fashioned, the Bible's this, the Bible's that. The Bible is relevant and true for today, because times may change, but people don't. The same problems people were having in the Bible, guess what? We still have them. There's no new problems. They're just fancier and more expensive. Right? But there's no new problems. It's all still the same problems. The Bible is still true and relevant for anything that you face today. And it is still our guide, our handbook for life, so to speak. And we can't let people or anything else discredit or discount this where it doesn't have its proper place in our lives. The Bible has the answer that you're looking for. I believe that's just for somebody that's not in my notes or anything like that, but you know what? People are seeking truth. They're seeking direction and answers. They're running all around, going everywhere, asking everybody. But you know what? There's one source of real truth, and that's God Almighty. Amen? He is the only one who has stood the test of time. He is the only one who is still living. Amen? Out of all the gods, He is the one who's alive. He is the one true God. You know, I love it. You know, on Easter, we always talk about when you go and look for other gods, the ones that people talk about in other religions, you can find them in their grave. But when you go and look for Jesus, He's not there. Amen. The tomb is empty. Yes. Why is it empty? Because He's alive. He is who He said He was. Yes. And so, you know, you can run around all you want, but I just encourage you to run to the one who has truth for you. Run to Jesus. Run to His word. The answers you're looking for, the direction you're looking for, is found in His word. Feel like you're in the dark? Well, you got to turn the light on. The Bible says that His word is a lamp unto my path. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I feel like I'm in the dark. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. Turn the light on. Open up the book and let it light your path up. It's not going to light up and show you the whole thing. It's going to show you step by step. It's a light unto your path. So I encourage somebody in here today, you need to do that. All right, here we go. We're going to talk about fear in relationships. You know, I talk to a lot of people in relationships and things like that, but I got a real good quote here. It says, "Great relationships are built on trust, and there is no trust without truth. If you don't tell the truth," this is deep, "people don't trust you. And if people don't trust you, you don't have a relationship. You cannot have a successful relationship without truth. It's impossible. You can't do it. And so, you know, all those things of hiding things from your spouse and things like that, it's going to catch up. And those little things are going to cause the person you're with to question the big things. Truth is powerful. And there's no place for manipulation and all that kind of stuff in a relationship. Because if you put all that in there, your relationship will never be what God intended it to be. It will never be strong like God intended. It will always have weaknesses to it. And so truth is powerful. And it is one of the bonds that hold us together in relationships is I care about you. The Bible says that love speaks the truth. Love, when you truly care for someone, when you truly love them, you will be truthful to them. Amen? Isn't that the truth? And so love speaks the truth. But when we have fear in our relationships, here's three things that fear does to relationships. When I'm afraid of my faults, when I'm afraid in a relationship, I become defensive. When I'm afraid of my feelings, I become withdrawn. When I'm afraid of losing my freedom, I become demanding. This is who we are as people. And we see this over in Genesis. In chapter 3, verses 1 through 19, and for sake of time, I'll just kind of read it with you, or give you a little Peggy version of it. How's that? You want a little Peggy version? But we know that in the Bible, in the Bible, when Adam and Eve were together, when Adam sinned, what was the first thing he did? God said, Adam, where are you? He hid himself. He hid himself. And, you know, the thing is that when fear comes, when we're fearful of our faults, we're like, oh, man, I've messed up. There is a tendency, a natural tendency in us to hide from it. You know, my dogs are like that. My dog, Gilby, he's got a few issues, but he's my baby. You know, he's very, very spoiled. Last night I was sitting on the couch and all the dogs are barking and it's just crazy town. And I just put my head back and I said, I need the dog whisperer. I need the dog whisperer to come to my house, you know. But with Gilby, if I say to him or if something is out of place or if something's wrong, even if he didn't do it, he runs and goes under the bed. The dog is, don't think I beat my dogs. Truly, I do not. I spoil them, and my husband's always saying, you created that. You created him. But when it comes to, when he messes up or if something is chewed or something like that, if I walk in, I'll be like, who did that? Who did that? And Gilby's like, and he runs under the bed. He hides, you know? And you know what? We'll do the same thing if we're not careful. When faults come and in relationships and things like that, when we mess up, it's not the time to hide it. It's not the time to hide it. And we don't want to hide stuff from God. It's so funny that Adam hid from God. God knew where he was. Hello, right? Yeah. He said, I've sinned and I hid myself from you. And that's what fear will do. It will cause us to hide ourselves and to hide what's going on. You know, I can't tell you how many times have we seen on the news, and I've seen it to a smaller measure just here in church, where someone will come and something will be going on in their life. And it's like, if they would have dealt with it, if they would have dealt with it when it first started instead of hiding it, then the recourse, the ramifications would have been so small. They would have been so small. But because they hid from the fault, they hid from what was going on, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger till now it's huge and it's life-changing, it's career-changing, it's relationship-changing. Don't hide from things. Amen. God will help you, but you got to go to God. Amen. You got to get the help you need. Don't hide stuff, because when we have faults, our natural tendency, that fear that has kind of creeped into our lives will get us to, oh, I can't let anybody find out. You don't have to broadcast your faults to the world. That's not what we're talking about. But when something is going on and you need help, get the help you need. Amen. Don't wait. Don't wait until it's ruined your marriage. Don't wait till it's ruined your job. Get the help you need. Amen. You can't hide from stuff. It'll catch with you. You can't hide from God. Amen. But that's what fear does. Fear causes us to hide our faults and become defensive and be like, I'm not doing anything. Why are you looking at me? Right? Well, we just go, we got to be truthful. Truth is power in a relationship. Yeah. Truth is power. You want to know why some people have successful relationships and others don't? The people who have successful relationships have truth in them. They're not hiding a bunch of stuff. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Next thing that fear does, when I'm afraid of my feelings, I become withdrawn. How many of us, I know we've all done that. You know, we're feeling some things, we got some stuff going on, and that's what Adam and Eve both did. When they sinned, they wanted to disconnect from God. They wanted to disconnect. They wanted to go, you know, to just get away from Him, but you can't get away from God. You know, sometimes we're not happy about that, but we need to be happy about it all the time. Amen? Amen? We can't get away from Him, but we've got to look. He's my strong tower. He's my helper. He's my help in time of need. When we're weak, when we've got stuff going on the inside, that's when we need to run to God, not run away from God. You know, God knows the feelings that you're having. God knows what's happening. You got to give those things to God. But when stuff's going on in our lives, our feelings, and maybe we, you know, men are especially, you know, not to pick on guys, but, you know, men aren't real open with their feelings. You know, ladies, we'll be like, how you doing? Well, let me tell you, you know, and, you know, let's have some coffee. I'll tell you how I'm doing. And we talk about, you know, well, maybe it's from my childhood. I'm really not sure. You know, I was watching Dr. Phil. And no, I'm just kidding. You know what I mean? And Dr. Phil said, how's that working for you, right? You know, but guys, you know, guys just want to be like, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. But, you know, here's the thing, guys. I want to just encourage you. See, when you withdraw, you're having feelings and stuff's going on and you withdraw, that's going to affect your relationship. Because whether you like it or not, your spouse knows when something's up. Your spouse knows. Your spouse knows when you've got things going on. And when you withdraw because of fear, because you are afraid to be honest with your feelings, and you withdraw, it causes tension in a relationship. It causes distance in a relationship. We're talking about how fear ruins relationships. And so when we withdraw with our feelings, and it doesn't mean that every day we got to sit down and say, how are you feeling? Tell me. You know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about there has to be time in a relationship where we're open and honest with those that we're close to, our spouse, when we're honest and we say, this is what's going on. God created Adam and Eve. The Bible says that they were naked. They were naked physically, but that's also a spiritual thing too. They were naked with one another. They held nothing back from one another. They were transparent with each other. These are keys to a successful relationship. If you're going to be married to somebody, you know, some people are like, you know, you're married to somebody, you say, well, I can't tell them that. You're married to them. Amen. There is no closer, there's not supposed to be any closer relationship in your life other than your marriage. That's the closest one. There's God, then your spouse. And listen, you know, I've met with people that are not married yet, but they're going to get married. And I'll know something. I'll say, well, have you talked to them about it? Well, I can't tell them that. You can't tell them that? If you can't tell them that, then you shouldn't be marrying them. Because if you don't trust them with the truth, you shouldn't trust them with your life. Because that's what marriage is. Marriage is life, right? You need to think about these kind of things. Think about them before they're too late. But when God created Adam and Eve, they were transparent with one another. And you know, and maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, man, this is nothing like my relationship. Well, that's why you're receiving truth, so this could help your relationship. Amen? We got to know how relationships are supposed to work before we make them work. We've been taught by the world how stuff works, and the world's way doesn't work. The world's way says they'll never find out. The world's way says, well, it's just a little white lie. Don't worry about it. That's the world's way. We want God's way. Amen? Next thing that fear does in a relationship, you know, in relationships, fear of losing control, fear of submitting, really, this is where I'm going to pick on ladies a little bit. When I'm afraid of losing my freedom, I become demanding. You know, a lot of times, in relationships, now I know I'm not going to be super popular with this, but it's truth. Amen? The truth isn't always popular. How many figured that out? Amen. Anybody watch the news? The truth is not always popular. But in relationships, in marriage, The wife submits to the husband. Woo! Amen. Amen. Preach it, Pastor Peggy. Woo! That was a good word. Go for it. Nobody likes these scriptures. You know, if you don't like them, it's because you don't understand them. Don't be afraid of what you don't know. Find out. Amen. But in relationships, you know, the man is the head of the house. That's how it's supposed to be. And so there is a part of us as women that is, remember, we want our souls restored. We want it back to God's way. We want it back to God's way. Where if we don't get our way, if I'm not going to get my way, if I'm afraid of losing my way, it's just going to make me more demanding for my way. How many have ever babysat a two-year-old? Right? Isn't that how it is? We say no. It's just like, man, there's something just like a little switch turns, and they're just like, what do you mean no? And so it's just a push to get your way. And if we're not careful, we'll be the same way, because when you're afraid, you know, submitting takes trust. Many times the reason why women don't want to submit into a relationship, men, is because they don't trust you, because you don't tell the truth. Amen? You know what, you know, in marriage counseling, so often the man says, well, if she just submit, everything would be all right. And which I gladly inform them. Well, you know what comes before submitting? Before submitting is possible, the Bible says a man loves his wife like Jesus loves the church. You start loving her like you're supposed to, she'll have no problem submitting to you. Amen. That's how it works. But you know, love speaks the truth. And so a lot of times in relationships, the reason that things are out of balance is because nobody can submit, because there's no trust there. You know, how many, you know, we've done a couple of, you know, when I was a youth pastor, we used to do trips, lots of trips. And, you know, the economy was totally different back then. Things are different now, you know. You can't really do as many things. And but one of the things we did a ropes course at Camp Kalakwa. And we had a lot of trust exercises. And so one of the things was that one of the kids would stand on this platform, and the other kids were there, and they were going to catch the person. And all the kids did it. So they'd have to get up and stand on there, and you've probably seen this on TV. And so everybody's there like, go ahead. And so they got their back to them, and they've got a free fall back into their friends. How many know that requires trust? You gotta believe that the people behind you have the ability to catch you, and that they will catch you. That's the only way you're gonna do that. It's called a trust fall, and it strengthens relationships. It really does. And so, you know, we'd have kids up there, and they'd be like this. They'd be like, and we'd be like, we're gonna catch you. Come on. They'd be like. And then, you know, they just kept looking. They didn't trust. They didn't trust. And you know what? In marriage, fear gets in there. Fear of not telling the truth, somebody not being real with you. You know, you can't expect someone to give their heart to you fully if you're not telling the truth to them. Because it requires trust. Truth in relationship is what builds the trust, what builds the bond, what makes it so strong. And so then when it comes time to fall into submitting to your husband, you trust him. You know that he loves you, and you do it. So submission isn't a bad thing. Submission is a very misunderstood concept. And if you're here today and you say, that's not for me, you're saying God's way is not for you, because it is God's way. And that's all free right there. It wasn't even in my notes. But let's talk about the antidote to fear in relationships. You guys ready? Over in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 27. First thing we got to do to get fear out of our relationships is we got to be honest. Say, be honest. You know, you wouldn't think you'd have to tell people that, though, but we do. It says, the Lord gave us a conscience we cannot hide from ourselves. That's out of the Good News Bible. The Lord gave us a conscience we cannot hide from ourselves. Say, cannot. Cannot. You know, you can lie to other people, but you can't lie to yourself. You can for a little while, but it's going to catch up. And so one of the things about just getting fear out of our fear, we're born fear-free. We want to get back there. We want to push fear out of our lives. One of the number one places to start, just be honest with yourself. Be honest. Number two thing we need to do to really get this thing back on track. Say, get it back on track.
Get it back on track.
We want to get some things back on track. You know, we've been listening to the world's way, and it's kind of seeped in a little bit through television and through movies and through culture and all that kind of stuff. We gotta get God's way back into it. Let me tell you how far our culture has gotten off from truth. You know, I love the Olympics. One of the things during the Olympics is a journalist from USA Today wrote an article about a snowboarder. He's a young snowboarder. He's in his 20s. He's married, and he has kids. The journalist called his lifestyle alternative because he was married and had children at such a young age. Because he was so responsible, and he wasn't in the party scene that so many of the people in that sport, according to this journalist, so many of the people in this sport are involved in. He wasn't. And so he was called the alternative lifestyle. How far have we gotten away from truth that a guy doing the right thing, living the right way, honoring, he's a Christian, honoring God, honoring his family, honoring his children, his wife, he's called alternative. Isn't that wild? It's a true story. You can look it up. And so we've gotten so far away from truth, from God's way of doing things. We got to get things back on track. Amen? We got to say, you know what? I can't let the world's way in. I know that it's not popular to wait until marriage, but it is God's way. I know it's not popular to give a tithe, but it is God's way. I know it's not popular to submit to my husband and be proud of it, but it is God's way. I remember when I got married, you know, I'm a strong personality, obviously. And my best friend from high school, she's not born again yet, but she's coming. She's been to church here a couple times. She doesn't live here. She's Jewish. And I pray for her. You pray for her. And, but anyway, when I got married, before I got married, she said to me, she goes, listen, are you going to have to do that submitting thing? Because I just don't think that's a good idea, Peggy. That just doesn't make any sense to me. And I was like, listen, that's how it works. But, you know, she was like, I don't think it's going to be that easy. She was right. It wasn't that easy. It was very hard for me at first because I didn't have clear understanding. I didn't have good teaching. I didn't have it. But once I got it, but at first, man, I thought like, oh, no, you're not going to tell me what to do. Oh, heck no, right? That was my attitude. That's why my first year of marriage was a disaster, barely made it out alive, amen? You know, because we were trying to do it opposite of God's way, and it just doesn't work. God's way is better. And so you know what? Culture and ideas and everything the world is throwing at us is contrary to the Word of God, but we've got to make a stand and say, you know what? I need truth in my relationships. I need to get fear out and get truth in. Perfect love casts out all fear. Amen? It casts it out. Let's keep going here. And so when we're talking about this, we've got to be honest with ourselves. Be honest with God. 1 John 4:18 out of the Living Bible says this, we have no need to fear someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread, or your Bible may say fear. But I love this part. We have no need, say no need, to fear someone who loves us perfectly. No matter what, God loves you. Amen? You don't have to be like Gilby and run and hide. You don't have to go under the bed. God loves you. Amen? God loves you. And when you get that love flowing in your life and an understanding of it, it's going to help you to be truthful with other people. Because you know why we lie? You know why people lie? We lie because we want people to accept us. We lie because we're afraid of what's going on in our lives. We lie because we don't want to get caught. We lie because we don't like the truth. If you don't like the truth of your life, change it. Isn't that what a lie is? A lie is opposite of the truth. And so when we lie about ourselves, we're saying, I'm not enough. I'm not enough for whoever I'm talking to, so I got to build myself up and lie about myself. I got to say that I'm more important than I am. I did more things than I did. I weigh less than I do. I'm taller than I am. Whatever it is we're going to lie about, because we're thinking whatever the truth is not enough. But if we start relationships like that, or we have relationships like that, they're not good relationships because they're founded on things that are not true. They're not founded on you. You are enough. Amen? You are enough. God made you enough. God made you perfectly and wonderfully, the Bible said. You are enough. You don't have to lie about it. And if somebody doesn't recognize you as enough, move on. Move on, because you're enough. God made you, and that makes you enough. Isn't that good? That's good preaching right there. Let's keep going. Be honest with the people in your life. The Bible says in James chapter 5:16, it says, admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you will be healed. You know what? A lot of times we struggle with things in our life. We struggle with addictions. We struggle with insecurities. We struggle with the pain of our past. We struggle with so much because we never let it out. Never let it out. Admit your faults. Admit what's going on. You got to have somebody in your life you can say, listen, this is what's going on in my life. We don't confess to one another. We confess our sins to God. But there's power in being real with someone about what's going on in our life. And then the Bible says, pray for each other, and this is the next part that I love, so that you will be healed. God knows we need one another. God knows we need transparent relationships. That's how he created with Adam and Eve, because he knows that's what we need. We need to have somebody in our life that we can say, hey, I'm struggling. I'm struggling in this area. I'm struggling with something on the computer. I'm struggling with lying. I'm struggling with insecurity. I'm struggling with feeling like I'm not enough. I'm struggling. Got to have somebody in our life where we can say that and then pray for one another. And the Bible says that you may be healed. There's power in community. Amen? There's power in a believer holding your hand, holding your arm, and saying, we're going to get through this together. We're not designed to deal with stuff on our own. We're not designed that way. We're not made that way. And so often we try to deal with it on our own, and then we feel all the condemnation. Why can't I fix this? Why can't I get through this addiction? Why can't I get away from the computer? Why can't I stop this? Because you're trying to do it alone. And we're just not made that way. It doesn't work that way. God says, confess to one another. Doesn't mean to get up in front of the church and let everybody know your business. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about that somebody, your spouse, your best friend, a family member, whoever. But everybody needs to have somebody you can be truthful with and say, man, I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with this. You say, well, I don't have anybody. You got pastors. You got pastors. You got people here at this church who will listen. We won't judge. Listen, you're not going to tell us anything we haven't done or heard. Amen. We've either done it or we've heard it. Probably done it. And just to be honest with you, we got a colorful group up here. You know, not Pastor Devon. He's a church boy. He grew up in church. Didn't veer too far. Praise the Lord. Every church needs one of them. But then we got Angel. You know. I'm just kidding. You know. And then we got me. You know. I mean, we've either done it, honestly, or we've heard it. So you don't have to be like, oh, what are they going to think? It doesn't matter what we think. You know what we're going to think? We're going to think you're serious about moving on. Amen. We're going to think you're serious about changing your life. Amen. That's what we're going to think. That's right. We're going to think, praise God, I wish I would have done it when I was your age. Amen. Amen. Praise God, I wish I would have done it sooner. Good for you. That's what we're going to think. We're not going to think, what? No. You know why? Because we've been there.
That's right.
Next one, 1 John 4:18 out of the Phillips translation says, fully developed love expels every particle of fear, for fear always contains some of the torture of feeling guilty. Oh, how many know that feeling? The torture of feeling guilty. But you know what? God will help you with that. You got to go to God with that stuff. There's not supposed to be any guilt and shame in the body of Christ. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so those feelings of guilt and shame, that's not from God. That's from stuff going on that you're not dealing with. Bring it to God. Bring it to the Lord. Talk to somebody. That's how relationships are supposed to work. But we got to get that fear of what are they going to think? That fear of they won't accept me anymore. That fear of they'll judge me. They'll look at me differently. That's fear. That's fear. And it won't happen here. Amen? It won't happen here. I'll tell you, people have told me some stuff that has, you know, been a pretty big deal. I still love them. I still care about them. Because you know why? I've told some people some stuff. It's a pretty big deal. And they've loved me through it. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for it. And so I encourage you, don't keep letting fear keep you from the life God has for you. Oh, that feel that I hate that. The torture of feeling guilty. That's not for you. You're a child of God. That's not for you. There are some things in this world we need to look at them and say, that's not for me. And guilt is one of them. Shame is one of them. Doesn't mean that we don't have remorse about mistakes we've made. Of course we do. We have remorse for people that we've hurt because of things we've done. But God wants to get you back on the God track and start restoring things, restoring your soul, healing your heart, getting you back where you need to be, where your past can be your past. Amen? And we don't continue to make those same mistakes again because now we live a life of truth, of truth. That's what we want. We want a life of truth. If you're hiding a bunch of stuff, it's going to catch up with you. You might as well deal with it now. Let's deal with stuff. Amen. One of the reasons why we as believers don't live the life God has for us is because we don't deal with stuff we need to deal with. The Bible says we speak to mountains. We don't ignore them. We don't put them under a rug. We don't act like they're not there. We speak to them and we deal with them. Amen. We deal with them by faith. We deal with them with the Word of God. We deal with them with the love of God. Whatever your mountain is, God's saying, let's deal with this. Let's deal with this. So you can stop walking around it, or you can stop bumping up against it, and you can just march right through it and get over it. How many want to get over some things? Amen. Let's get fear out so we can get over some things. We have no reason to fear the one who loves us so perfectly. There's nothing that God can't help you overcome. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we're so grateful, so, so grateful to you. We honor you, Lord, today, and we trust you. Lord, I pray for every person here that, Father, if fear has gotten into their relationships, fear of truth, fear of feelings, fear of losing control, those fears that ruin so many good relationships, Lord, I just pray right now that you would help them in their time of need, that you would help them to overcome and to expel fear from their relationships. Oh, I just thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that we live lives of truth, that we speak truth, we live truth, we love truth. Oh, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Father, I thank you as I know everybody in here. I know that we're all heading to heaven, but just to make sure we're all on the same page with nobody looking around just for a moment. Maybe you're here today and you say, I didn't realize that God loved me so much. I've got fear in my life, but I need Jesus. You know, the Bible says that Jesus came to rescue us. And maybe you're here today and you just feel like you're drowning in fear or guilt or whatever. I'm here to tell you that God loves you, has a plan for you, wants to restore your life, wants to give you the joy of the Lord, wants to mend your broken heart, wants to give you the truth that you seek. God will do all those things, and he wants to do that. All you got to do is open up your heart and say, Jesus, come into my life, be my Lord. If you're here today and you say, Peggy, I've never done that, but this morning I want to. I want the truth. I want to know God. I want God to be a part of my life. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It's not difficult. You don't have to change. You don't have to do anything except the Bible says, call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. So if you're here today and you say, I want to do that. I want to call on the name of the Lord Jesus this morning with nobody looking around, just out of respect for people. If that's you, you say, I want to do that. Just raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. I want to call on the name of the Lord this morning. Anybody like that this morning? Oh, thank you. I see your hand back there in the back. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Let's all just pray together for the sake of the person who raised their hand. Let's say, Father God, right now this morning, I commit my life to you. You are my Lord and my Savior. And I rededicate my life to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, aren't you glad you came to church today? I'm pretty impressed with this 9 a.m. crowd. I got to be honest with you. You know, usually it's a little sparse, but you guys are here. You look bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I'm pretty impressed this morning. When we got up today, our dogs were looking at us like, what's going on? You know, and but they catch on to that time change quick. But anyway, you're good job today getting out of bed, getting here, looking good. And I believe you got something from God. And let's just all endeavor to live a life of truth. Amen. And we've got our ushers. We're going to receive our offering. But before we do, I want to read a testimony to you. We started on Wednesday night. We have started our Blessed Life series. And praise the Lord, it's been so good. And we've only done one, but many of us have read the book and things like that already, and we're living the blessed life. But I want to encourage you, we say here at Believer's Victory, we have a saying. We say we give because we
want to,
not because we have to. And here's why we want to. We want to because God is so real. And so I want to read this, I'm just going to read a paragraph of this. Somebody emailed me a letter telling me just about how powerful tithing is, that they had made a commitment and a step of faith, because how many know it takes faith to tithe? They had made a commitment and a dedication to do it, took a step of faith, a husband and wife, and they just wrote me a letter just saying just how powerful it has been and how God has just met them, and they've just been blessed beyond their belief. And so I asked permission if I could just read the last paragraph here. They said, I love, whenever I get an email that has these words in it, I know it's going to be good. They say, oh, Pastor Peggy, our God is just so amazing. He is always so faithful to us. Isn't that good? And then it says, I just couldn't pass up this testimony because I have truly learned the concept that we can never outgive God. Tithing has done a tremendous turnaround in my walk of faith with the Lord and my overall relationship with Him. When we learn to release what is not ours, we receive unbelievable blessing in return from Him. And that is the amazing part of it all. The tithe is not our money, and when we release it to Him, our Heavenly Father turns around and blesses us in ways we can never dream of or imagine. I am so thankful that you love us so much to share the benefits of tithing with the church. I truly believe that at the end of this series, a lot of lives will be changed, and you'll see the benefits of your faithfulness. Isn't that good?
Amen.
So I want to thank Jamie for sending me that email. And you know what? She just, it's a long email just telling me the power that she and Bobby have just, they've been tithers for a long time. But you know what? They're living examples that it works. Amen? Amen. And so you know what? They don't give because they have to. They give because they want to. And so with that, let's receive our offering today.